You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call back? I called back.
Gilbert, fade away.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standick here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast coming to you Thursday night. Wizards get back at it Friday night against the Detroit Pistons. I'll be doing a podcast after that game, and I guess I forgot to mention this yesterday, and that's kind of why I'm here today. We'll get into what the latest in the Wizards practice, update on Jason Smith and Markieff Morris, and talk a little bit about the Pistons here in a second, but in an attempt to have some sort of life this year, I'm going to try to limit myself to, I've said this at some point over the last few weeks, limit myself to about 5 podcasts a week, and if there's going to be games on the weekend, then I'm going to probably skip like Friday to go into, to do those games, particularly if they're at home when I have a real chance to be there. But today I was like, all right, I didn't mention that yesterday, and since today there was some news with the Wizards, I thought I would do a quickie here just to get in the flow. If you missed it, you can go hear the recap of the season opening win over the 76ers. Our pal Todd Dibas of the Washington Times joined to talk about all that, the good with the Wizards, including the fact that they were able to score 120 points without the offense actually really flowing. Good production off the bench with Kelly Oubre and Jody Meeks and a whole bunch more. And we also talked about how the bench did, or at least leaves disappeared when the bench was in the game yet again. So also Martin Gortat, you can hear him, his take off on the game as well. All right, let's just get into some stuff here. Scott Brooks spoke with reporters today out of the Wizards. Things he said included that Jason Smith is essentially day-to-day with that shoulder injury that knocks him out of the Philadelphia game. But good news is x-rays, or MRI, I should say, went, MRI happened, and nothing of note. So that's a good thing, but it doesn't, if I had to guess from what I was heard and told, it doesn't sound to me like Jason Smith will be playing on Friday against the Pistons. So what does that mean for the short term? Well, it could mean a few different things. You know, Kelly Oubre had a very nice game in the opener, and he's obviously an option to play at that 4 spot for sure. Or rather, he's in the 3 with Otto Porter technically at the 4 spot. And look, Oubre, the lineup last year with Oubre in at the forward instead of Markieff Morris, but the other stars on the court, was a top 5 net rating unit for the entire league. This is an unbelievably small sample size, so I don't mean to say anything, but I was looking this up, and I noticed that that same lineup, so John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Martin Gortat, Kelly Oubre, as of right now, with most teams having only played one game, that was the 3rd best net rating lineup of any lineup that went at least 15 minutes. They were a plus 26.2, offensive rating of 121. Pretty spectacular there. So, like I said, the Scott Brooks wasn't ready to make a call, at least not to us, as to what his plans are, but you figure Oubre is going to play a decent amount there. I don't know, though, if it makes a ton of sense to start him in that if you take him off that, if you put him with the first team, then who's he, you know, who's going to be out there with the second unit? He was giving you some offensive pop yesterday, and that was part of the issue, or that looks like part of the issue with that second unit. How are they going to be able to score enough? They don't have a sort of a go-to option there unless Oubre truly develops into one, and I'm not making that call after one game. So, you know, you could go with Mike Scott. He's also part of that second unit, but he's, you know, a little more of a natural fit there and lets Oubre stay there on the second unit. Just a thought. By the way, another thought, if Jason Smith is out, Scott Brooks played 10 players in game 1, in theory, you would like to think that that would mean this, the 10th player in this time would be Tomas Satoransky. We'll see. By the way, I should say, you know, I will also say this in terms of starting Oubre, you can probably get away with it, I think, against the Pistons because they have Tobias Harris and Stanley Johnson at the forward spots. Tobias Harris, who had a really good opener, I want to say, I'm pulling up the stats, I want to say he had like 28 points. Detroit won their first game 102-90 over Charlotte. And Harris is a very good player. He's, you know, he's one of those guys who I think could sneak into the All-Star game this year just because, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but obviously a few guys left. You know, he had 27 points in the opener with 10 rebounds. He's 6'9", 235, you know, big guy, but I don't view him as such a beefy guy that Otto Porter or Ken Kelly Oubre couldn't deal. So with Stanley Johnson at the three, I think this is a game where you could go with Oubre off the start if so desired. Now, the other news today out of Wizards land, talked to Todd about this earlier, and you can read what Todd had to say about Oubre and the injuries, of course, at thewashingtontimes.com. But what Todd was saying was that Scott Brooks said that Markieff Morris was able to participate in practice except for the contact drills. Now, the last few days that I've been out there, when practice is over, the media is let in, and we watch the players kind of shoot around, nothing too exciting. And slowly, they all leave the court and go, whatever, get massages, take showers, go eat, what have you, leave. And when that happens, Markieff Morris stays behind with some of the training staff some of the coaching staff to take shots. He's, you know, inside the arc, but a lot of outside the arc shots as well. Assistant coach David Atkins is doing the drills with him, pitching the ball in there really fast, like, and Markieff's catching it like a Max Scherzer pitch one-handed, and then immediately turning to set up and hit a three. First couple days, was this pretty much set shots? Since then, he's gotten a little more bounce in his shot, and he's, you know, saw him moving up, you know, moving a little bit more, doing some jogging. So good sign there. Now he, you know, based on the time frame, in theory, he's still out about 3 to 4 weeks. You would think that even when he returns to full practice, it's going to take, you know, a week plus to get into a game. So, you know, we'll see. It sounds like today was encouraging. Sounds like he may be ahead of the curve. But, you know, again, 3 to 4 weeks from where we're at now is kind of where we're at with based on the original time. But we'll see. Maybe there's a chance he gets back quicker. If the Wizards can, you know, get off to a good start, there's no reason to rush him per se. All right. The opponent, the Detroit Pistons. What can we say about the Detroit Pistons? Obviously, I just mentioned Tobias Harris, very good, kind of combo forward. But obviously, sort of the center of attention, pun intended, I guess, is Andre Drummond. It's an interesting matchup, Drummond against Marcin Gortat. I feel like Gortat's has done a pretty good job with Drummond, whereas like a guy like Hassan Whiteside, a little bit quicker, has been a problem for Gortat. Drummond hasn't been able to really go off against the Wizards. Look at last year, for example. Andre Drummond, he finishes the year averaging 13.8 rebounds a game, and 13.6 points in three games against the Wizards, 8.7 points and 9.7 rebounds. He also didn't even play, played 24 minutes, a little bit lower than normal. I'm going to be honest, I don't quite remember exactly why that went down that way. But in any event, the numbers are not terribly impressive. But regardless of that, Andre Drummond, he's a class. He's one of these, you know, old school centers inside. He'll gobble up rebounds. He'll clog the paint defensively. He can score a little bit, a lot, mostly on dunks, but he's a massive free throw liability. Shot 38% there last year. So, you know, between Gortat and Mahimi, the Wizards have options to contend with Andre Drummond. Interesting note for the Pistons. I'm not a big Reggie Jackson fan, but he didn't strike out in his return last night following some season season-long injuries a year ago. Yes, thank you. Rim shot on that strikeout thing. 13 points, 8 assists, no turnovers in the opener. Good sign there. There's always this John Wall, Reggie Jackson thing because of how Jackson's, when he signed his extension, it matched what Wall got at the time, and Wall is considered the much better player, which is true. There's no way Reggie Jackson's matching the massive extension Wall got this summer. So there's that. One other thing to note here with the Pistons, they, of course, acquired Avery Bradley during the offseason, and the Wizards saw plenty of Avery Bradley in the playoffs. Tough defender. I think John Wall at one point last year said that Avery Bradley was the toughest defender he goes up against. And obviously Bradley Beal will see a ton of Avery Bradley, so that will be an interesting matchup for sure in this game. And then after this one, the Wizards, it's a Western Conference road trip starting Monday with the Denver Nuggets, a game I definitely excited to watch and a game that I'm going to have to watch on TiVo delay because the Redskins are on Monday Night Football, and don't yell at me for that. But we'll work. Don't worry about that for now. We've got Pistons, Wizards, Friday night at Capital One Arena. I will be there. We'll come back to you guys after the game with some thoughts on what transpired and start looking ahead to the road trip. We'll see who's the second game in a row. We don't quite know who's going to start a power forward. We all pretty much knew it was going to be Jason Smith. This time, if there is no Jason Smith, and I'm going to guess there won't be, but we'll see. Kelly Oubre, Mike Scott, mystery contestants, who knows? 99.9% camp would be stunned if it was a Chris McCullough. Part of me though likes to think keep the second unit in play, meaning keep Scott there and bring somebody from the deeper part of the bench up to just quote unquote start the game and maybe give you a few minutes. McCullough is the only one who fits that bill, but he does not look the part at all. So I don't see that, but you never know. We'll see what Scott Brooks pulls out tomorrow night. All right. Appreciate you guys as always. I am going to call it there. Thanks for listening. Back later with another Locked On Wizards podcast. And until then, see you.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Bryant, caught. Bryant, long shot. Dagger!